ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and anything else our host wants to talk about. Neil Smith is the Vice President of Social Media and Innovation at Denham & Company, lives in Texas, loves the Spurs, and exploring the world with his family. Jay Cranda is the online pastor at Saddleback Church, lives in California, loves the Lakers and drinking black cold brew coffee, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm glad to be joined by my friend Jay Cranda. Jay, excited about this podcast?
I am excited too. We got some cool stuff, and I just want to mention to those who are listening and watching maybe on our TV apps, I do have my new daughter in the room. So if you hear like a kid in the background, it's because I am serving duty right now. So she is calm, but if you hear little sounds, I'm not doing some puppet act. It's actually my daughter in the background.
I love it. This podcast is so real to life for you and I. We've both been through like new kids, new moves, new jobs together. And a lot of it is like we squeeze this in wherever. And she was right on cue for that.
Oh my gosh, she was. She totally was. It's hilarious.
Well, Jay, we're going to talk about a few things as we get into this podcast. And before we dive into our core topic of really setting up your social media profiles well, there's a couple of kind of new trends around Facebook. And Facebook, you know, I preach this all the time, is 90% Facebook. I mean, I think everybody's got a really good on Facebook, and the others are secondary to that. So Facebook kind of has a couple of things I want to talk about. One is Facebook for Nonprofits has recently come out. And they're really, all it is best practices for nonprofits. And so, I would probably say 99% of our audience are nonprofits, primarily church leaders. There are lots of tools, and Facebook is beginning to prioritize where they were prioritizing for businesses and for-profit businesses. They're beginning to say there are a lot of nonprofits that can use this platform, and we want to make it better for you. And really what it is right now is training tools for nonprofits. So pay attention to that. Just Google Facebook for Nonprofits.
Neil's, it's important to mention that we've talked about this, Facebook for businesses. Obviously, that was a huge advantage because it gave multiple user accounts. Yeah. You can have different credit cards, essentially. I know that was very problematic for a lot of people. You would have one account and you couldn't really seamlessly change out cards. Right. I know for me, you know, working with different organizations, I would have to invoice people and it was really a hassle. Essentially, Facebook businesses caused pretty much fixed a lot of those problems. Is Facebook businesses a good model to see that Facebook for nonprofits is going to be a good solution?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think at the end of the day, they're helping you use the Facebook business tools for nonprofits. And what they've really done so far is made a donate button available on your Facebook page. And we're going to talk about this as we get into setting up your profile today. That's not, in my opinion, a huge advantage to be able to have a donate button.
Yeah.
We're going to use it. I do think, though, where this is going is I think in the future, people are going to be able to donate within Facebook. And so they will have their payment information integrated into Facebook, and it will be very easy. That's where I think we'll see a big advantage for nonprofits. But I would say the advantage now is get in early, begin to understand how Facebook is wanting to utilize their platform, because that's where people are engaged. And as you better understand what Facebook wants you to do, I think you're going to be able to be on the cutting edge as they further develop around these tools.
Yeah.
Other big trend, Jay, that you and I are seeing a ton of is Facebook Live. And we've talked about this over and over and over again on this podcast. It's now, even in our profile, it's right there at the top of updating your status is go live right now.
Yeah.
So they're wanting us to go live. Churches are more and more going live. So I feel like, Jay, you and I are preaching this, go live. And now people are doing it. Are they going live too much? What's your opinion, Jay?
Well, I definitely have a handful, and I think with any new launch, you're going to have, you know, a 5% that kind of abuse it. But it's funny because Facebook Live is so prominent, and what I mean by prominent is that the notification is so in your face. Like it's kind of like a red alert almost. It really is. It's in there. So I have some people that go Facebook Live all the time, and I found that it has a couple of those individuals I found that I have hidden all from them. Because they're kind of just annoying me. So I definitely think as a church, as a nonprofit, you should be thinking strategically. You should, every post shouldn't be that way, of course, but I definitely see a big trend. Obviously they've extended it now. I think you can go 90 minutes. They still recommend 10 minutes for a broadcast. There's been so many things from churches doing stuff. There's been political events that have been Facebook Live. It's definitely a growing trend. It's powerful. I we were talking about this before, and we'll probably spend a whole episode on this, but have you noticed churches thinking about full streaming their services on Facebook Live? Have you seen anything? Have you had those conversations yet?
A lot of churches are starting to do this, tying into the API. And so a lot of people, streaming providers, are making it easier to push that live to Facebook Live. So it's not just an iPhone video, you know, or an Android video going to Facebook Live. It's a full quality plug in the stream that you're pushing to your church online platform or media social and put it right on Facebook. And here's what a church asked me this week is we had 400 people see it on our church online platform. According to Google Analytics, we had 4,000 people see it on Facebook Live. Yep. We're thinking about cutting that. Why drive traffic there when the traffic is already there within Facebook? We're getting more long-term engagement. Honestly, the engagement is higher from a chat perspective because it's integrated with Facebook so seamlessly. So they're thinking, let's get rid of the church online platform. My and I'm curious to hear your response. My response to them, Jay, is not yet. An interesting shift. I think that as hot as it is with Facebook and the algorithm right now, it's going to drop a little bit.
Yeah.
The other thing is you have clear calls to action within your church online platform or media social to donate or to have notes or to accept Christ and give your email address, where you can't do that in Facebook Live as seamlessly. So I think it's just not there yet, but it sure is interesting. And it's hard for me to say, well, you're getting, you know, I don't know what the percentage is. If you're getting 400 here and 4,000 there, it's hard for me to say, keep sticking with the 400 while the 4,000 is engaging so many. I would do both. You know, I would not stop doing Facebook Live, but I would still look to drive people to the full platform.
It definitely felt to me, and I'm just going to echo what you've already said. I definitely see those watching on, let's say, I'm going to put on my day-to-day hat of online pastor at Saddleback Church. I definitely see those watching on our website as a higher, like a warmer lead, essentially. Yep. They are more committed because they're on our website, they're engaged, and there's a higher likelihood that they will convert. The problem with Facebook Live is, and it's really not a problem, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a problem, is that if I have 1,000, I know that there's a high chance that somewhere between 50 to 70% are falling off 5 minutes into the stream. Because there's a lot of views, but the retention, the average retention, I believe, is still around 2 to 5% of a whole video, depending, especially that's when you get beyond the 15-minute mark. And so, and that's more just because of the way they're playing it in the stream in your newsfeed. And so I just see those watching on our website as kind of like a deeper step into our funnel. The other thing is, and this is what you said, and this is what I'm going to echo, is the call to action, especially for a church. The options, it's so, and I think it's just part of a new technology and it will get there, is like, I was working with a friend of mine and I was like doing some coaching with him and he was doing a video and on Facebook Live. And I was like, we like had to create a link on our website, essentially, that was like a next step card. And so it was like the church's name / Facebook next step. And then we put that link. So every time he goes live, that's the next step card. But it's weird to say, hey, click up there on the button versus like having it laid out. And I just don't think the layout of Facebook Live, at least for next steps, is super clean. If you want to get them to accept Jesus, if you want them to get into a group or join your church, whatever it is, it's just the text box and the text link isn't as, and that might just be something that needs to evolve. And I think that might, but I think a lot of that Facebook is paying attention to, but there's something about on the website is a higher, but do both. I think part of your service and say something like, hey, to watch the full thing, go to here.
Yeah. Well, and that's, and Jay, this is that I'm going to be talking about the iMinistry conference this year, is we have to really think about so many different platforms, from people watching it on a mobile device to people watching it on a TV device. And when you and I got into the church online space, it was one platform. It was basically on a computer. And then we started thinking mobile, and now we're thinking TV. And now we've got to be thinking Facebook as well. And part of me almost thinks of, if I were getting into this, would I just start with the Facebook campus? You know, so for us, when we first started, it was like, what platform are you going to choose? Facebook was not a platform. Facebook was a platform to get them to your platform, not where you had them live, where now it's kind of like, well, maybe they could just live here. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think there's a possibility there that I will 6 months from now say, you know what? I would just focus on your Facebook page, and that's your Facebook campus. Let's see where the technology goes. Let's shift our conversation, Jay, about best practices to setting up your profiles, starting with your Facebook page. And so what advice would you give if you're talking to a church that's saying, you know, we need to set up our page, profile image, banner image, call to action button, fill in the gaps. What's important around the page?
Well, something that we talk about a lot here, and it's something Holly Tate from Van de Bloemen has mentioned as well on this podcast, this idea of persona. I think everything from the imagery, the text font, to the color scheme, even to the way you lay out your description, you need to be thinking about your target audience. And so the marketing language, that's persona. At Saddleback Church, it's Saddleback Sam, when Pastor Rick started the church 35 years ago and so forth. And so you need to be thinking, so if you're going after, you know, young 20-year-old males or young, you know, let's say early 30s, newly married, the language is going to look different. I'm not necessarily, you know, when I watch a Mountain Dew commercial, you know, it's clearly, you know, they're going after like kind of teenage rebellious, maybe, you know, they smoke pot type of audience.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's joking around. Now, there might be, sadly, sometimes I might be interested in that. Doesn't mean that I'm part of that persona. It just means that there's something in that is like interesting. And so the same thing that Apple versus Microsoft. And so I think you got to think wisely. And I know for you, you've done this a lot, Neil, is like, how important is like the colors and the imagery and the font and all that stuff? How important is that?
Yeah, so it's your first impression. And I think you've got to really think through. They say that only 5% of your audience ever comes back to your page. And so when you talk about how you set up your profile, you're thinking about it's your church lobby. When somebody's first walking onto your church campus, do you want it to be cluttered? Do you want it to be messy? Do you want it to be stuffy? You want it to be vibrant. You want it to be energetic. You want it to be welcoming. And your profile and your banner image and your call to action button should be the same thing. So I think just even looking at those three things specifically, understanding the importance of each. So your profile image is the most important image on your whole page. I think this should probably be your church logo, or an image that people just visually connect to your church. And so having your church logo right there, where people can see it, because that's what people see over and over again in their newsfeed. So that's the visual connection that people are making to your church, is that logo that personifies your church, then is the banner image. So when people then see some of your content, or they see a page like ad and they go to your page, then they see your banner image, that should be a welcoming image. And that's just like you were talking about, that's targeting that persona to say, welcome, this is what we're all about, and we want you to be a part of us. We want you to feel welcome on this page. And at the end of the day, what you're wanting them to do is to like your page. And so you want it to be some appealing of, you know, maybe you have three words that personify your church that say, believe, belong, you know, connect, yes, or something like that. And then you
whatever
it might be that personifies your church. But a lot of times what people put there is a campaign or something that's for their church members. And it's kind of like, help us, you know, build this new building. Well, somebody's coming to your page for the first time, and it's like, yes, this church is all about money. And then that call to action button is a donate button. And it's kind of like, your members aren't coming back to your page. Your members are going to your website.
Yeah.
When they're thinking about that campaign, you want this to be a welcoming image. That button, I almost always recommend setting the learn more button, and that drives them to your website. Or you use a watch now, which would be like a welcome video on YouTube or something like that, or a Facebook video. But having something that is learn more about us. If this image caught your, if one of our posts, if this image caught your attention, you want to learn more, this is going to be a snapshot of who we are. So
two questions. How often do you recommend people changing out their profile image? I mean, on their page.
So profile image, I would say, should stay pretty consistently, maybe once or twice a year, and maybe during special seasons. Maybe you have a logo and then you kind of have a Christmas theme that still looks like your logo, so that people would still see it and see, oh, that's Saddleback Church, or that's, you know, First Baptist Church. and but maybe put have a, you know, a wreath on it or something that is relative to the season. But I don't think you change that out much. The banner image is what I feel like you can change out a little bit more often, but I think people are too quick to change it out.
Yeah.
I think quarterly is probably a good amount of time on the banner image.
Yeah.
But if you haven't changed it out in a year, don't feel like, oh, it's stagnant, we need to change it. You don't need to. If it's representative of you, good. You know, leave it there. It's not something that needs to change consistently. This is for the first-time visitor to your page.
Now, I know there's been an evolution of these pages. Obviously, you used to be able to have the landing page before you liked it. They've gone away from that.
Right.
And there was a high, like, kind of mentality where they were doing, like, a lot of third-party apps that you could pull into the page. Do you recommend people, like just, no, don't even do any type of, like, YouTube integration, anything? Just keep it plain. Keep it all Facebook.
That's a good question. We have seen with Nick Vujicic's page that having some of those integrations, especially for a prayer request form within the page, has actually worked very well. His is the only page, to be completely honest, that I've seen it to be very effective. I've seen a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to build out those apps, build out those pages within your page without a lot of effectiveness. So if you have an easy form creator that, you know, click this button and you automatically have a Facebook app, it's not a bad thing to have, but it's not something you should spend a lot of time on. That's my two cents from my experience with it. Jay, what are your thoughts around it?
Yeah, I the only ones I've seen, first thing, I feel like a lot of those integrations are kind of like, the WordPress marketplaces that stuff just dies and you usually learn about it after a while. Yep. So I have a problematic. That's one of the reasons why I have slowly moved a lot of things over to Squarespace, because it's more maintained and WordPress is, you know, I just have a love-hate relationship with them. My personal site is still on WordPress, so I can't too much stuff. It's just not worth me converting. So I just have found, like, I've seen the YouTube integrations actually been the nicest. So that's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah. I feel like there's something about that. But it is weird because you do see most people, from the stats that I've seen, 95% or something, it's like, I think I saw that 6 months ago, are consuming your content in the newsfeed. And so the page is important because it is the first impression and you want it to represent you. I think one of my last questions is, as somebody who obviously, worked at a church, and now it's just in this new season of not, now you're coming along ministries.
Right.
I know my church, what I've seen is what they've done is in their kind of marketing catalog, every time they update things, they have this process where they have steps to update graphics on all their social accounts. Did your church have anything like that where, like, it was part of the checklist of a new series? No. Or a new launch? Was that integrated in, and would you recommend churches to do that?
I do. And that is a part of, that was a part of our process at Community Bible Church. And that's a part of our process at Dunham & Company when it's campaign related, we will integrate that into, or series related. You know, if you think about it in the church world, that's a good use of the banner image, I feel like. Now, I think what you've got to think through is that a series can often be a great first impression for somebody coming to your page and know, here's what's going on in the life of our church, and this isn't a campaign. Yeah. Does that make sense? And I think there's a difference there when it comes to who are you communicating this to. So a campaign is often, you know, giving campaign to your committed core, where a series is essentially a campaign to your community, you know, and to the crowd, trying to pull them in. And so as you really kind of look at who's that audience, as you create those graphics, think through that and understand that profile image, that image, that banner image is more for the crowd. It's for that person that isn't yet at your church to get them to come. And so if it's relative to them, that's a good reason to change it out. Here's the downside to it. I see too many churches that series is over, but they left that graphic up for 2 or 3 months afterwards.
Yeah.
So the more dated that kind of thing is, the more you can look like, man, we're not paying attention to our social networks, because you don't pay attention to it either, because you're not going to the page. You're seeing it in the newsfeed, or you're updating it through a third-party app. So just thinking through those things, a few other best practices I want to throw out. So I've been doing a lot of just audits of social networks. So I'm paying attention to these details. And honestly, I'm embarrassed because I'm thinking about a lot of the pages that I've managed in the past and really dropped the ball. But you've got to go through consistently and look at your pages and look at what you're doing. So you've got Twitter, you've got Instagram and YouTube and even Google+ that you just have to go through and see what...
What?
there's this social network that was created a few years ago, Google+, Jay. It's not worth paying attention to. But
where's our guy? What's his name? Dustin. Stout? Is it Dustin?
Yep.
Yeah. You remember our whole debate? Look, my daughter is like coming to my rally. We had a whole debate about Google+.
She's upset. She's like, Google+, Dad, you're wasting your time.
I know. Anyway, sorry.
But it pulls up when people search you on Google. So there is still some value there, especially when it comes to the setup of the page. I don't know that it's worth social and all that. But here's the deal. I think your profile image should be the same across all social networks. I think your Instagram, when it comes to your church, your organizational profile. So your Instagram, your Twitter, your Facebook, your Google+, your YouTube, keep that same icon across. And if you're going to change it on one, change it on all. I would say the same thing on the banner images. Now, I see a lot of YouTube channels that are putting a banner image in there. It's not that hard. Put a banner image on your YouTube. It just makes it look complete, like we take this seriously.
The dimensions on YouTube always throws me off. I don't know why, but the banner...
It doesn't make sense.
It sometimes it stretches. So I will just say anybody who's ever done that, if you do that and you run into it, I mean... just keep pushing through. You could figure it out, but I've had problems with it and I don't know why. It's so
I have problems every single time with it. And I still don't understand. We'll have to have Sean Cannell explain this to us, the best practice around it, but putting something up is better than having nothing up. Yeah. So that's kind of my point there. And then I would say Instagram, update your account to a business account. So you can have a call to action button on your Instagram account. You can get analytics, but having those best practices on Twitter, you can now, apply to have your account verified, go through that process, but really setting up your accounts for optimal use is really important. And so I think it's worth even monthly doing a checklist and just saying, I'm going to just go and look through my accounts. Where are we out of whack, out of line? Where do we need to update these accounts? Because that's a first impression for our ministry or organization or church.
How often an audit?
I would do a quarterly audit. So I would monthly just quick review of everything. Where's it at? I would quarterly really try to audit through your content, your profiles, your bios, because here's the deal. It's different in different accounts. And so how you're communicating on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube, and just make sure it's all in line and try to use, especially when it comes to the account information, try to use timeless stuff. The about page should be timeless. The profile information should be timeless for the most part, but things change. I would also try to have the same handles, across all of your social networks. So if it's at Saddleback Church, then have it the same across the board.
Question, when your old church, Community Bible Church, when they had pretty much a changeover of leadership, handing off a good thing, it was a great thing for the church.
Yep.
Did you guys make a date, this is the date where we have to update all the info on the website and all the social accounts, essentially? Was that something that
it was interesting. And there's a lot of churches that go through pastoral leadership because we didn't know what is the new pastor going to want, because Robert, our former senior pastor, he would not pay attention, then he'd pay attention, and then not pay attention. And you never knew when you were going to get that call, and he'd be like, I think we need to redo everything. And then we'd kind of coach through, what does that mean? What does that look like? Why are we doing it? And really work through that. Well, then with new leadership, and I knew, Ed, our new pastor, very into Twitter. And so I knew that Twitter was going to be a big deal to him. And then we took over his personal Twitter too. And so what does that look like? Understanding his voice and corporate, our church voice. It was complicated and confusing, but it was not a day. It was a Jay, this was a, how quick and how fast can we get everything updated? And then we update it. And then we'd hear something like, yeah, that's not really the right shift. We're going to need to go to this.
Yeah.
And it was just, but the truth is at the end of the day, if you're in social media, you have to, you've got to be flexible.
Yep.
And that was just the state of where we were in that season. And I think we should all be, in the world of social media flexible, but yeah, it's an interesting, I don't know. I wouldn't want to work for a pastor that didn't move fast.
Yeah.
It's a pastor that's like, oh, let's really think through our profile images and do, I don't know if we can, you know, like, I don't want that. You know, like, we'll all complain all day about a pastor who makes changes immediately. But at the end of the day, I sure would rather have that than a pastor that wants to triple think everything before he moves.
Yeah. Or never move. So, or never move. Okay. So, last question. Are you excited for college football or not excited?
I'm excited. It was a good weekend, Jay. The thing is, I don't have a team. My Texas State Bobcats won, but they're not a big football team. Yeah. Texas A&M won. That was a fun game to watch. University of Houston won, and had a big upset. So I'm a college football fan. I'm just a football fan. Jay, are you a football guy?
I think college football is terrible, and I feel like it's the worst. The only good thing about college football is the thing that they stole from the pros, the playoffs.
And okay. USC lost. I don't know if you're an SC fan.
I know I'm not. That's the thing. I went to a private Christian university in South California, so I'm like secluded apparently from college sports. Anyway, so we talked about a lot of different things. Go to our website, socialmedia.church, to learn more about us and to check out past shows. And if you want to give out a shout out to my daughter, hashtag LELLE, Cranda. And then if you heard her in the back, and or if you were annoyed, you could tweet me that you were annoyed. But guess what? I don't care. So anyways, you have a great week, and we will be back next week. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the host, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the host. Thanks again for listening.